defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
Okay, it is a brand new week here on The War Room Show. I'm your host, Owen Troyer. We've got Omar Navarro at 3:33. He's called for the arrest of Maxine Waters. We've got Roger Stone in the second hour. But first, we've got the Swamp and members of the Swamp who are literally mentally impaired trying to go after Donald Trump and embarrassing themselves day by day. Let's start with Nancy Pelosi, who is now calling Robert Mueller her mother.
Robert Mueller comes back with a report saying that there is evidence of collusion between Donald Trump's campaign and Russia. Do you believe he should be impeached?
Well, where does Mueller take that?
Sure.
But his burden of proof is different than what it would be in the Congress of the United States. And people should know that
yeah.
He could go to a criminal investigation of some of the people he's investigating. What we're doing is saying the measure of behavior, the Constitution of the United States, highest crimes and misdemeanors. But in any case, we've got to fight this. This is it. This hurts the middle class. It's an opportunity cost for our investments in our budget.
Right.
We're for a better deal, better jobs, better pay, a better future, and we must reject the Republican tax plan. That's our task at hand.
Leader Pelosi, I'll have to have you come back and we'll just talk taxes.
Oh, yeah, you got to have her back on. Please get Pelosi back on to call Robert Mueller mother. Please get her back on for that. That is too rich. And then there's good old Maxine Waters with a wig on top.
Wow. What a moving evening this is.
Just pause it real quick. Here's what you need to understand about just listening to Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters speak and this new nitwit, Frederica Wilson. If you're just a verbal, if you just take verbal cues and listen to that to try to detect mental illness, all three of these women are off the charts. Just listen to the way Maxine Waters tries to get through her speaking process, and you can tell this is a woman who's mentally ill. Let's go back to Mad Maxine.
I am sitting here listening, watching, absorbing, thinking about Ali, even though I never met him. And with this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight.
Adjust your wig. All right. This woman is insane. What did I just say? I literally forgot. It's so hot in here. Maxine Waters, folks, mentally depraved as well. Now, here's the newest dingbat to the club. Nobody knew who this sequin cowboy wearing, fake cowboy wearing Frederica Wilson was until she came out against Trump. Oh, and you'll find out why she's decided to come out against Trump here in just a minute. But now here's the latest to the mentally defective Democrat club, Frederica Wilson.
We're naming the building in honor of special agents Benjamin P. Grogan and Jerry L. Dove, members of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who died valiantly on Friday, April 11th, 1986, in what is still considered the bloodiest gun battle in the storied history of the FBI. Most men and women in law enforcement leave their homes for work knowing that there is a possibility that they may not return. But I don't know if that was on the minds of agents Grogan and Dove as they left their homes on April 11th, 1986. I do know that it was an unusually cool and breezy spring morning in South Florida. I do know that Miami in the 1980s was plagued by crime and graphic violence.
So there's this Frederica Wilson in 1986
in media reports
saying exactly what she's demonizing Trump for saying. You knew what you signed up for. And anybody understands what the honor in that actually means. So there's Frederica Wilson. Oh, and by the way, John McCain, he's the other mentally defective. He's with the Dems on regulating the internet.
We'll be right back.
This is the War Room.
Welcome to the War Room. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. A brand new week here on the War Room. Glad to be with you. We've got all kinds of news to cover. We've got breaking video that we're going to break down from Hooters during the Vegas massacre. This is something that we're not going to let get swept under the rug, folks. They're lying to us about Vegas. And the reason why this is so key is because even the average American that doesn't want to be considered a conspiracy theorist, never even wanted to go towards being a conspiracy theorist, can see through the lies being forced on us by the mainstream news, by the FBI, and unfortunately by the Las Vegas Police Department. Now, why are they lying about it? There's reason to debate there, but they are lying about it, and it becomes more and more apparent by the day. So we'll have all of that. We've got Omar Navarro at 3:30 Central Time. He called for Maxine Waters' arrest. We've got Roger Stone in the second hour. He's got a litany of news he wants to talk about. Obviously, him being right about the JFK papers being released is going to be huge. So we've got all that. I've got a stack of news on Weinstein Gate, dominoes continuing to fall, and also my prediction of them coming after toxic masculinity now seems to be even more right. We'll get into that. I've got a stack of news that makes me think that they're building towards another big war. Of course, everybody realizes that's going on. I've got three things coming from the ACLU today that will make you want to pull your hair out, and then a stack of news on how liberals and leftist ideologies are absolutely collapsing and they're eating their own. So we're going to get to all of that, but if you heard us in the first little 5 minutes here while we get started on the War Room, you would have heard from Frederica Wilson, who's proving to be an absolute hypocrite on her attacks on Trump. And then you heard, of course, from Maxine Waters. She continues to prove to be more deranged as the days go by, as well as Nancy Pelosi. This is a woman who can't even do an interview without saying something that shows how mentally deranged she is. So you've got all of that going on. But it's not just the Democrats that are completely mentally deranged. Let's not leave John McCain out of that picture. So last week, we covered how they want to regulate Drudge, Google, and Facebook, and they want to have algorithms to rig what you see. They want to present it differently to you on Google Play, on the Apple Store. So, oh, you can't find the Alex Jones app, or you can't find the Gab app. All you can find is Facebook and Twitter, where they censor the news, they censor what you see. And John McCain is joining that movement. Shocking, John McCain wouldn't want you reading InfoWars. Wow. Why wouldn't John McCain want you to read Drudge or Breitbart? I don't understand. John McCain, he's such a good guy. He doesn't have brain cancer. He's not losing his mind. By the way, what happened to John McCain's brain cancer? I guess that's just kind of disappeared. And so Frederica Wilson, now she becomes a household name. Guess what Frederica Wilson did and why she's probably speaking out? She gave Imran Awan, that's right, the Awan brothers, $120,000. So, of course, Frederica Wilson has to jump out on the anti-Trump bandwagon because she's just as deep in the swamp as the rest of them. So, the more you see these people coming out against Trump, the more you know they are corrupt. That's what this comes down to, folks. You know, Judicial Watch does some great work, Tom Fitton in particular, and the FBI has now recovered 72,000 pages of Clinton records. And 40,000 of them are yet to be processed. So Judicial Watch is now pressing that the State Department process these records and get to the bottom of Clinton corruption. Of course, it's now being looked at in the, in fact, you've got the story right here. Mueller probe is now targeting Democrat lobbying firm Podesta Group. That's right. You've got the Uranium One deal that is coming back into the fray as a main story as well. And then you had Grassley, I believe it was Chuck Grassley, when asked about an investigation into the Clintons, said, we're not going to comment on an ongoing investigation. So how do you like that? Oh, and here's why John McCain, this is why John McCain wants to regulate the internet. This is why John McCain wants to join the Dems and regulate the internet and censor the internet. This is from Zero Hedge today. U.S. now admits Syrian rebels have used chemical weapons. Oh, oops, InfoWars had it first again. We told you it was the rebels using chemical weapons. We told you it was McCain's rebels. It was Obama's rebels. Oh, excuse me. Moderate rebels. These are just moderate rebels. Oh, I guess that is until they use chemical weapons, John McCain, Barack Obama. So now the State Department has issued a Syria travel warning, and that's because of terrorism there and that they use chemical weapons. It goes on and on. And as we told you, it wasn't Syria. It wasn't Assad using chemical weapons against his own people. It was the Syrian rebels that were being backed by Barack Obama and backed by John McCain. Oops, InfoWars had it again. So here's an interesting story that's kind of starting to bubble over. I'm not really buying any of it. I just find it hilarious that they want to cover it. Steve Bannon's already murky Middle East ties deepen. Murky Middle East ties. Yeah, it's murky because there's not much there. It's murky because you're trying to create fake news. But again, how is it that they have a problem with Steve Bannon's quote unquote murky Middle East ties, but they're completely silent when George Bush is working with Saudi Arabia? Completely silent during the years of Barack Hussein Obama arming quote unquote moderate rebels in Syria. I mean, let's go back to the 80s and 90s when the CIA was funding and arming the proxy wars in the Middle East. Nothing on that. No murky Middle East ties there. Oh, but Bannon. Bannon has the murky Middle East ties. It's Bannon you need to look out who has the murky Middle East ties. Oh, and he's also a white nationalist, too, and a white supremacist. What else is he? Anti-Semite? I mean, how many different names can we come up for Steve Bannon? And they're all more ridiculous than the last. All right. I didn't believe this at first, and I'm still not sure what to think about it. This is making its rounds on the internet now. James Comey reveals secret Twitter account, and it's been rumored that this Twitter account, Reinhold Niebuhr, has been James Comey, but it's always, you know, who can actually fact check this stuff? Well, James Comey is in Iowa, and all of a sudden, this person is basically putting out pictures everywhere James Comey is, and then even tweeted out a picture of James Comey. Now, this could easily be an internet troll, but this has the internet trolls trolling pretty hard on the internet right now. And my question is would James Comey be that stupid to think that nobody would notice that he has a fake Twitter account? That's the real question to me. And unfortunately, the answer to that is yes. Yes, he would. James Comey would be that stupid. James Comey covered up for the Clintons. James Comey perjured himself. So yes, James Comey would be that stupid. But we know that our audience is not that stupid. We know that our audience is smart. And that's why we give you a 360 win deal at InfoWarsStore.com. And we are running all kinds of specials right now. We've actually got new specials on the books right now. You're seeing some of them right there. 50% off Silver Bullet. 50% off Winter Sun. You know, I was thinking about Winter Sun today because here in Austin, Texas, it's just kind of starting to become fall where you need to maybe wear a long sleeve shirt out. So that means winter is right around the corner. And for a lot of people, that means not much sun. You're not going to get much vitamin D from the sun. You're going to be wearing cold weather clothes covering your skin. So you're going to be a little short on vitamin D in the winter. And that's why I was thinking, maybe it's time to stock up on some vitamin D. So I'm glad to see that we're running this special right now. 50% off Winter Sun Vitamin D. This is especially a key product in winter when you're not getting the vitamin D from the sun. The sun's not out. It's cloudy, what have you. You're wearing long sleeves. You're just not getting the vitamin D from the sun. So at InfoWarsStore.com, we've got the solution. That's Winter Sun Vitamin D. 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Look at those high reviews. What is that, a 4.8, guys? Zoom in on that review for me. InfoWarsStore.com. 4.9. How do you like that? A 4.9 star review on vitamin D. Silver Bullet, 50% off. BrainForce, still 50% off. Anthroplex, 50% off. All of these deals at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, when we come back, breaking video. New video we have not covered yet on the War Room of the Hooters the night of the Vegas Massacre. Don't go anywhere. You're not going to want to miss this. Yeah. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. We are live 3 to 6 p.m. Central Time weekdays at warroom.show for all of InfoWars' 10 hours of broadcasts every day, infowars.com/show. And, of course, to support us, infowarsstore.com. Okay, so the Vegas massacre, a lot of people in the media are not going to let this get swept under the rug. No, I'm not talking about the mainstream television media. Most of those people are going to let this get swept under the rug. I will be perfectly honest. Since Monday, the only members of the television media I have heard still addressing this and not falling for the official narrative is Tucker Carlson and Tommy Loren. That is it. Everyone else has either swept this under the rug or refused to talk about it during the last week. We'll see what happens this week. Now, here on the War Room, we're not buying the official narrative, and we're not going to let this get swept under the rug. And we see an opportunity here at InfoWars.com to awaken more people to how the fake news media works, to how the FBI can not just cover up events like this, but also in the past have indeed been caught staging them and have even admitted to that themselves. So what's going on with the Vegas massacre? Well, we're not really getting any answers from the FBI. We're not really getting any answers from the Las Vegas Police Department. What we are getting is more videos from citizen journalists just recording video and releasing that to the public so that the public can make its own decisions. Now, over the course of the 3+ weeks, I guess we're just at 3 weeks now, since the Vegas massacre, we've basically seen that there was activity at the Bellagio, activity at New York, New York, activity at Planet Hollywood, activity at Tropicana, and activity at Hooters, in addition to the official narrative of the activity at Mandalay Bay. So we've tried to break down every angle of all the places that we've just spoken of, broken down video, audio, police scanners. Now let's get into Hooters, where it was broke on the Alex Jones Show and InfoWars.com that there was a line of ambulances outside of the Hooters taking bodies out. So what happened at Hooters? Was this a staging area? Was there a mass shooter in Hooters? What was really going on? Now, a lot of people were giving us a hard time saying, why aren't you covering this? Why aren't you covering that? Cover this, this, that. Folks, we look at everything, and whatever we think is worth covering, we cover that. Do some things slip through the cracks? Absolutely. Nobody's perfect. But if you're wondering why something isn't covered, it's probably because we've deemed it either fake news or it's not worth covering. But here's something we decided to cover after all. It's a video from Hooters, and we've compiled some video together along with some audio of the police scanner of activity at Hooters. So we'll break this down as we play it in live time. This is a compilation of activity the night of the Vegas massacre at Hooters.
I think that's the SWAT here with me in front of Hooters. Is there anywhere specific that they're needed?
Now, this is inside Hooters now. And what you see is a bunch of people in white blankets laying on the ground.
Of active shooters in multiple locations. It may or may not be diversions, officers, or what?
341 GC. So I woke up to automatic weapon fire, like, no joke, like, crazy. And then sirens, tons of sirens.
Now, this is a guy across the street from Hooters.
Then we had people running.
Automatic fire.
Yeah. Thank God I'm staying in a cheap hotel.
I'm still on CCAX channel. Do we have a 458?
We're in a Hooters casino. There's a shooter going on.
So many bodies out of that Hooters. I don't know if people are dead. I don't know if they're just injured.
Here's the videos. The ambulance is lined up outside of Hooters.
Could be seen parked in front of Hooters. By the time you get to the 5-minute mark, you can count 16 ambulances parked in a line with more speeding by.
35. We're getting from civilians saying that there might have been 3 shooters.
Control 105, what's that location?
I need to charge my phone in my car, I know. That's the only reason I need to go.
7-7, I'm at Hooters. I have FBI SWAT out here with me, and I'm getting if they're needed elsewhere.
Okay, copy. Is FBI SWAT?
Multiple police scanners indicating activity at Hooters. 17 ambulances outside of Hooters.
At the Motel 6, we have a job to be good for 13. This is crazy looking, though.
And then here's the video from inside Hooters, which could appear to be bodies laying on the ground. We've determined that these are just people that were staged over there overnight there and were given blankets. I'll get more into that in a second. Okay, so a lot of people were theorizing that that video was dead people inside Hooters. We don't think that was the case. We believe that those are people that were kept at Hooters overnight and they were given blankets and such, which actually checks out when you consider other eyewitness reports talking about how they were locked up in different hotels and how it seemed like they were really ready for this. Like immediately when it broke down, they had everyone locked down. They got everybody locked into place wherever they were. They had pillows, blankets. They were saying, you're now a guest of this hotel. And they had the entire strip basically shut down from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. Completely shut down. Whatever happened on the Vegas Strip from 11 p.m. to 5 p.m. around the Vegas massacre, where it went down, nobody knows except the FBI. They had that on complete lockdown. You could not go out there and you could not leave wherever you were told to shelter in place. So there's just some more weird stuff coming out of Hooters that we got zero mention of from the FBI or the Vegas police. Now, here's a video from Mandalay Bay. This is new as far as I'm concerned. We've had multiple independent journalists, independent investigators go to Mandalay Bay, do their own investigation. No one has said that the 32nd floor has been on lockdown until now, and they produced the video. Check this out. So here's someone in the elevator at Mandalay Bay. Can't hit 32 on the floors. Won't accept 32. So they've obviously blocked off the 32nd floor. All right, you want to try to use the stairs. So this independent investigator decided to try to use the stairs. Walking towards the stairs right here. So there's the stairwell. He's on the 33rd floor. And now is approaching the stairs to go down to the 32nd floor. And what do you think will happen when he gets down there?
Is it locked off this way?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, locked up. Locked down. We're investigating the 32nd floor. Okay, I mean, yeah, of course you would be investigating the 32nd floor. It would make sense, but it's odd. Again, considering this is the first, after 3 weeks, we've ever heard of the 32nd floor being on lockdown, and you would think it would already be on lockdown, but I'd never heard this before. Plus, I would guess that after 200 rounds were fired off, one of which magically grazed Jesus Campos' leg, there'd be a lot of damage there. So it's just very, very strange, all of this that's going on. But they'll lock down the 32nd floor of Mandalay Bay, but they won't send a team to Paddock's house to protect it. Was Paddock's house not a crime scene until it got broken into? And then it was a crime scene. Oh, I see how that works. Because you wouldn't logically want to protect Paddock's house that was a crime scene until after someone broke into it and tampered with the crime scene. Wow. The Vegas massacre, folks. What are they covering up and why? We're not going to let them get away with this. Omar Navarro on the other side. Well, if we're going to drain the swamp, we got to send people to Congress to remove some of the swamp creatures that occupy it. And one of those candidates is Omar Navarro. Now, Maxine Waters is who he's running against. She's completely unhinged. So Omar Navarro called for her arrest. Here's a clip of that video.
Queen Maxine thinks she can say whatever she wants. She thinks she can get away with whatever she wants. But I say this, the Secret Service needs to arrest Maxine Waters. I'm calling for her arrest. They need to go after her. Because this, what happened was wrong. And we need to start taking action. We need to start doing something. She thinks she's above the law. She's not above the law.
So there's Omar Navarro calling for Maxine Waters' arrest after she said she would take out President Trump. This was part of a mentally ill diatribe that she gave the other day. We're now joined by Omar Navarro. Omar, you've come a long way since I first started talking to you on the air. You've got a lot more national attention featured on other national shows. But now you've called for Maxine Waters' arrest. I mean, do you think this is a woman who consciously knows how unhinged she is?
No, Maxine Waters thinks that she's sane and confident, but everybody knows in the world that, you know, she's just talking and talking and talking. And, you know, she's not doing anything for her district. She's not doing anything for her district. And, you know, she's just talking a lot, and she's not really doing anything for the 43rd Congressional District. She's staying above the law. She thinks that she could threaten the president and she can get away with it. And that's a big problem in our country.
Well, you've been talking about this for a while, and this is not new news, but I think day by day, as Maxine Waters continues to show how more and more she's unhinged, you just keep beating the same path that, hey, she's been this way. She's never cared about her district. There's nothing new here. Let's get her out of office. And I know that you've also been having some fun with this. There's apparently a video of you taking her wig off. Am I hearing this correctly?
Yeah, we did a video not too long ago at the Trump National Golf Course. We had a great event. We had Sheriff Joe Arpaio there. We had Joy Villa there. Anna Kate was there. We had Danny Ann. It was a great event. We had a lot of great speakers, but we had a little spinoff. We had a little great thanks performance that we hid from everybody, and we showed everybody this performance. And we had Joy Villa's brother, of course. He's the one that impersonated Maxine Waters in the video. Basically, the representation was that Antifa's there and all these other people that are trying to censor free speech along with Maxine Waters. And we got that out there. It was like a send a message that we have to save free speech. And the symbolism behind the whole thing is basically saving free speech and making sure that we're respecting it in our country. Because we live in a time right now where they're not respecting free speech. So we have to bring that back. And I'm glad to be a part of that.
While we're showing the video now, I didn't realize that you guys had done that entire little play there. So Joy Villa is playing free speech. Maxine Waters comes in and tramples on free speech. And there's Omar taking off the wig. Yeah. And then Maxine Waters' wig is raised up high as a symbol of victory, removing the wig off of the swamp rat. See, this is what the left can't do. The left doesn't have any creativity like this.
Well, there's a lack of creativity from the left. I mean, and part of it, too, also, you know, I got a lot of people telling me, like, Omar, you're nuts. You're going to do this. I'm like, no, I'm not crazy. Because people are tired of these politically correct candidates who can't even spice it up a little bit. Sometimes you have to think outside the box, and you got to do things outside the box in order to have any kind of success. I mean, this message is great. I mean, people are so tired of seeing the left kind of so politically correct on every angle. I mean, there's also the right. You have both sides. But we have to make sure that we're respecting free speech. And the symbolism behind it was beautiful. I mean, it's masterful to have Maxine Waters' wig back. You know, the James Brown Foundation definitely wants a wig back after this election.
Yeah, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is missing James Brown wig. What is going on here? I mean, come on. No, but actually, you know what? I think that what you're doing here is actually brilliant, because the mainstream media doesn't want to give you the time of day, other than, you know, very staunch conservative people on the television news. I am hearing you. You are getting mentioned a lot more on the radio. Good for you there. But I think that the stunts like this are actually what's going to force the mainstream media to cover you. You calling for Maxine Waters' arrest after she says she's going to take Trump out. I think the new one is you should challenge Maxine Waters to prove she's not wearing a wig. Let's make a huge deal out of the wig.
Yeah, you know, the question is, you know, we don't know if that's a wig. You know, that's the question.
Oh, we
ask.
Know. Don't.
We don't know.
You speak for yourself.
That's the question. We'll find out.
I know that's a wig. All right. That's a wig.
Remember, they used to say that about Trump wearing a wig, and then someone on TV actually pulled his hair and actually proved that it was actually
I think
there.
It was actually
so
Jimmy Kimmel.
I extend this challenge. The Maxine Waters.
It was Jimmy Fallon.
So someone, you know, Maxine's got to ask people to pull the wig, and we'll see if it really is real or not. We got to find out if it's real.
Well, you've challenged her to a debate. She's still not accepted that challenge, I assume.
Yeah, well, she's turned down every single debate that we've sent at her. Not only has she turned down every single debate, she hasn't commented on anything that we've done. You know, Maxine Waters is scared. We all know that. You know, Maxine Waters is standing down. You know, she's so busy shopping in Beverly Hills, busy going to hotels in Beverly Hills, busy living in a $4.3 million mansion, living high in Hancock Park. but she's not busy in the district. I'm in the district. I was born in the district. I still live in the district. I live in the city of Torrance. You know, we have to make sure that we're representing, if we're going to represent a district, we have to live in that district. And I think that's what's happening today. We have people who don't live in their respective district. So we have to make sure that we're representing our people. We have to go out there. We have to do something. Not only that, we have to represent the state of California. You have businesses that have left the state of California. Toyota has left the state of California. They have gone to Texas. We have to reclaim business back in the state of California. We have to bring back stability in the state of California. Democrats have destroyed the state of California. We have to bring back opportunity and prosperity back into the state. This cheap labor that they want in the state, you know why they support illegal immigration? They support illegal immigration. They support sanctuary cities because they want cheap labor. They want slavery. They want to be able to control a narrative. They want to be reelected. This is why they stay in office, because they have people that are in there that they're using for their own personal gain. I'm for the people. I'm for legal immigrants. I'm for the immigrants that immigrated to this country that fought hard to come into the country. I'm for those people. We have to fight for them. If we're not going to do that, then we're just sitting down being lazy. I'm fighting for them, and I'm going to continue to fight for them. Like, we just had a five foreign demon that was indoctrinating our kids in the Long Beach Library, and that was wrong.
Yeah, and you're definitely not lazy. Folks can follow Omar Navarro on Twitter just to see how active he actually is, boots on the ground. But, you know, it's one thing to have representatives that actually live in the district that they're representing. That is one thing. But it's a whole nother thing with Maxine Waters. I mean, she doesn't even live in reality. I mean, you want to talk about living in a district. This woman doesn't even live in reality. But I think for you, we're about to go to break here, Omar, and we're going to have you back here another segment. I like the angle because they don't want to put Omar Navarro's name out there. They don't even want people to know your name. They don't even want to think they don't even want people to think Maxine Waters has another candidate. But I think you continue to, you know what you might need to do? You've already challenged Maxine Waters to a debate. She's a no-show. Maybe if you challenge Maxine Waters' wig to a debate, maybe then you could actually get some attention.
Well, you know, I think that's a great idea, Owen. I don't think it's a bad idea. We maybe should have the wig on one side, but maybe we should do it somewhere where it's big. Let's do it in Berkeley or something like that. This is where the battle started. This is where the left has censored free speech. Let's take this battle to Berkeley. So I challenge the college Republicans in Berkeley to host a debate: Omar Navarro versus Maxine Waters wig.
See, this is how we start to ruffle feathers. This is how we start to get the gears moving. I like that idea. Bring it to Berkeley, where there's all this, you know, hubbubaloo over free speech already. There's supposed to be the bastion of free speech. Let's get Maxine Waters, or if Maxine doesn't want to attend, let's get Maxine Waters' wig on a podium with Omar Navarro for a debate. College Republicans at UC Berkeley, you've just been challenged. We'll be right back with another segment with Omar Navarro. Don't go anywhere.
What a moving evening this is. I am sitting here listening, watching, absorbing, thinking about Ali, even though I never met him. And with this kind of inspiration, I will go and take Trump out tonight.
What does that mean as Maxine Waters adjusts her wig? There's Maxine Waters saying she's going to take Trump out tonight. Oh, it's so funny, Maxine. You're so funny. Ho, ho. Openly talking about assassinating the president. Oh, Maxine Waters is so funny. And then she has to readjust her wig. Folks, we've just come out with the poll at warroom.show. We've just come out with the poll. This is a new poll. Follow us at warroom.show on Twitter. What has a higher IQ? Maxine Waters or Maxine Waters' wig? Now, this is a groundbreaking question that's being posed to you at War Room Show on Twitter. And from my experience in polls, folks, this is going to be a groundswell win for Maxine Waters' wig. So the people believe that Maxine Waters' wig has a higher IQ than Maxine Waters. These are just early indications of polling. Unlike every other poll that told you Hillary Clinton was going to win, we actually go with real polls, not rigged polls. Maxine Waters' wig, a higher IQ than Maxine Waters. That's why we think Omar Navarro might want to challenge Maxine Waters' wig to a debate instead of Maxine Waters, because it might have a higher IQ. But Omar, no, quite honestly, it's really absurd, the rhetoric that they're getting away with. And if you had come out, and let's say you were giving a speech when Obama was still president, and you said, I'm going to take Obama out, we're going to take Obama out, they would be coming after you like crazy.
Look, if I did something, I would be in jail. And, you know, at the end of the day, there are no exceptions to the truth. Maxine Waters did threaten our president. And at the end of the day, Secret Service should go and arrest Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters is part of the crime family that is on the left, that they think they're an exception of the law. They think that they can walk away with anything, like her grandson, who had a felony, who got dropped down to a misdemeanor. I mean, these are the things that are happening in Congress right now. So if you have someone in the higher ups in the deep state that you commit a crime, you get let go, and everybody else has got to pay for it. Look, like my friend Joe Arpaio. I mean, they chased him down for 8 years, 8 years. And, you know, that's what's been happening. I mean, this is what the left is doing. They want to go after the right, because the right is going after a lot of the threats that the left are doing. Like I'll give you an example. Like I said earlier, in Long Beach, you had a five-horned demon that was teaching kids. And, you know, I wouldn't be okay with that. I'm Christian, you know. And I think that demonic forces are starting to incorporate themselves into our school system. And that is a very scary thing. If I had a child, I would not be okay with it. And that's why I'm speaking against it. And that's why I'm getting my voice out there. They want to assassinate our president, not just his character, but they want to assassinate the person. And that is what is wrong. And that's what is wrong right now in our country. You have the left that has divided us, and they are not uniting. They are dividing. And the right is bringing back unity. We have to bring back unity, but the left is not doing that.
Well, it's insane to me that, and you know, they know that. That's why Maxine Waters is up there laughing, because she knows that she can't impeach Trump. She knows that she has no grounds for impeachment. She knows she's just a dingbat up there flapping her big bass mouth lips. So she knows she can't. So she's just, oh, it's all fun and games. She's laughing. But you know what's not funny to me, Omar? You know what's not fun and games to me? The fact that Maxine Waters has a PAC, Citizens for Waters, that gives $10,000 to Hamilton, a play that is clearly anti-Trump. This is what they do. They collude together and they funnel their money all towards anti-Trump. Nothing goes back to the people in California, though.
No. Well, like I said earlier, you know, Maxine Waters is so busy shopping in Beverly Hills that she's not in tune with what's going on in the 43rd Congressional District. When I drive around and I see homeless families living in the street, that concerns me. When I see a gangbanger living across the street from a family, that concerns me. When I see drug dealers living across the street from families, that concerns me. When I see this district falling apart and businesses leaving and leaving kids who graduate from college who become unemployed, that concerns me. It does not concern Maxine Waters. Maxine Waters has done nothing for the black community. She has done nothing for the Hispanic community. She's done nothing for the white community. She has put every community last, and I'm there to put them first, because it's time for us to reclaim the 43rd Congressional District, reclaim the state of California, reclaim our country, and get rid of people who are corrupt, like Maxine Waters' crime family. We have to make sure that they are out and that the truth is in. God will prevail at the end of the day. Maxine Waters is only a man, and a man who will lose in 2018. She will lose hands down. I will make sure she does. With the support of people in my campaign, they can join me at omarnavarro.com. They can join my cause, because at the end of the day, my campaign runs on the people. So I need the people to keep supporting what I'm doing. If you want to take a jab at Maxine Waters, if you want to be a part of Maxine Waters' retirement fund, donate to my campaign, donate 1776. Get out there. Get involved. Help out. He's, without your help, I can't do this. With your help, I can beat Maxine Waters. Let's show Washington. Let's show the elitists. Let's show the deep state that we can win once more, that we can get above it. We won with Trump. We can do it again, and we're going to do it again in 2018.
Omar, what is going on in California right now? You've got California wants to consider themselves a sanctuary state, which protects non-citizens. Meanwhile, they have a illegal immigrant, a non-citizen that just got arrested, suspect for arson that caused fires in California, the death of at least 40 people, deported two times, and they want to stand with him. Meanwhile, you've got, you can spread HIV knowingly and get a slap on the wrist, no big deal. But if you use the wrong pronoun, you could be subject to jail time. What is going on out there in California?
Well, I'll tell you what's going on. You have Democrats that have stolen the state for ransom. They're supporting sanctuary city. They're violating federal law, first of all. I don't support sanctuary cities because sanctuary cities are racist towards legal immigrants. They don't have the interest of legal immigrants. Legal immigrants actually vote, that can vote, or are supposed to vote, because we do have illegal voters in the state of California. You know, we have that problem, but we have a monumental past that we have to identify that we do have a problem here in the state. But we're going to make sure that this election is fair and clean. We're going to have a lot of people that are going to be involved and they're going to be helping out. And we're going to make sure that we're not going to have some highway robbery going on here. These people all over the country are invested. I have 49 states that have donated to the campaign. People in the district, 54% of it, Hispanic Latinos, are tired of Maxine Waters.
Yeah.
They're not.
And honestly, that's the big thing about this, too, is that everybody wants Maxine Waters out. I mean, you know, it's like this is a nationwide movement to get rid of this crazed lunatic dingbat in her wig, Maxine Waters, and you're the one that's hopefully going to take her down. That's why we're all pulling for you. That's why you're getting the funding from all these states. But you mentioned election integrity. I mean, how concerned are you about the integrity of this election? How concerned are you that they're going to try to get non-citizens voting for Waters again?
I'm as concerned about election integrity as our president was. I mean, here in California, we have a lot of illegal voters. There was a case where someone got 128 ballots in one address in Los Angeles. I mean, can you believe that, getting 128 ballots to one address? That person just moved into that apartment.
Yeah, but where's the checks and balances?
That shows a concern there. And also, my friend Chanel Temple, she's a big supporter of mine. She's been going out there. She's been speaking against Maxine Waters for years. And, you know, she's been a big advocate of my campaign. She's Black Americans for Omar Navarro. She's going out there. She's speaking against Maxine every step of the way. She shows up. But, you know, we have to have people that are going out there just like Chanel. I'm very happy to have her support. And she's been a very vocal voice. She's been on, you know, InfoWars before. You guys have covered her. But, you know, I'm very proud to show that people are waking up here in the 43rd Congressional District. People in Inglewood, people in Hawthorne, people in Torrance, people in Gardena, people in Lameda, people all over the 43rd are awakened. And I'm telling you this, when they go to my events and the left labels me a white supremacist, a racist, a bigot, all these things they call me. And then I say, hola, ¿cómo estás? Mi nombre es Omar Navarro. There is no call right there, because I automatically out them. I answer to them and I go after them and I say, hey, no, I'm not racist. I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to fight for my constituents in the district.
Hey, you got to keep fighting. You got to keep scratching. You got to keep clawing. We got to drain the swamp of that swamp rat and the swamp rat she wears on her bald head, Maxine Waters. Omar Navarro at PressGOP on Twitter. Follow him. Ladies and gentlemen, the Western Medicine Industrial Complex. That's right. The Western Medicine Industrial Complex thinks they own you and your family and your health care. Here is a shocking story as to why we cannot let the government run our health care.
The outrageous case of Justina Pelletier should serve as a warning to parents who may be confronted by medical kidnappers and the tentacles of the state antagonizing honest families with cruel consequences.
It's like you fall down into this rabbit hole that you can't get out of.
It's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. Luckily, my daughter was over 18, so I was able to say to them, get away from her now.
Tozier's kids, who also have rare diseases, are safe at home. But if the Pelletiers can't sway Judge Joseph Johnson by next week's hearings, they could lose custody of Justina until she's 18. Something Heather hopes her newfound friends won't have to endure.
They were all hoping that they let Justina go home and be with her family. She needs to be home for Christmas. She's already missed Thanksgiving, Mother's Day, Easter. She's missed her birthday. She needs to be home.
Boston Children's Hospital was founded in 1869 by Civil War surgeon Dr. Francis Henry Brown. By 2012, the hospital had been rated for the 23rd year in a row as one of the nation's top hospitals specializing in pediatric care. The hospital's teaching affiliate is none other than the Harvard Medical School. Justina Pelletier's horror began when the doctors and psychologists at Boston Children's Hospital diagnosed her with somatic symptom disorder. She had been previously diagnosed with mitochondrial disease from the Tufts University School of Medicine. An inexperienced Boston Children's Hospital doctor, just 7 months into his internship, was convinced that the pain Justina was experiencing, pain that felt like knives were cutting open her stomach, was all in her mind.
So many people could have said, time out. If Boston Children's is so gung-ho on this diagnosis, yet nobody else believes in it, nobody else has been able to be brought in to contest it, her Tufts medical people totally blocked out.
Citing a concern for possible medical child abuse with zero evidence, Boston Children's Hospital then requested that the Commonwealth of Massachusetts Department of Children and Families take emergency custody of the patient, as Justina's parents and sister were blocked by security guards.
February 14th, Valentine's Day, I went up there with my other daughter who has mito, and we went to discharge her. And they hemmed and hawed. We were at the main nursing station. And I could see out of each corner of my eye, security guards here, there, everywhere. So I said, this is smelling bad.
At that point, then you are escorted from the building.
We are given by a number of security guards. They escort my wife and my daughter out of the building. And we're given a no trespass. If we ever show up on the property again unauthorized, we will be arrested.
Justina was then made a ward of the state of Massachusetts.
She went from a healthy as could be young lady to a person now in a wheelchair, pretty much paralyzed below the hips, almost no physical strength above the hips. She has been totally medically abused. You know, she had tachycardia, medically diagnosed, was on metoprolol for that. Since she's been at Boston Children's through DCF custody, she's been off that. So she's had a heart rate of anywhere from 100 to 152, medically verified. Number two, she had a cecostomy tube placed into her colon so she can go to the bathroom for neuropathy of the colon. And when you're a mitochondrial patient, you're more sensitive to your nerves, kind of like somebody with fibromyalgia. So she was taking Lyrica to deaden the nerve pain. So she's been in severe pain nonstop, 24 hours a day for 13 months.
All I really want to be with is with my family and my friends, and it's all I want is just to be with my family and friends.
Justina was held in Boston Children's Hospital psychiatric ward, Bader 5, from February 14th, 2013 until January 2014. She was transferred to Wayside Youth and Family Support Network, a residential treatment center. Justina was literally
a heart-wrenching story, folks. It's really scary to think that the government has say over your children. That is absolutely absurd. We need to take our children back from the government.
Is the War Room.
I'm your host, Roger Stone, and you're tuned in to the War Room. This is our expanded coverage that we're now going almost 10 hours a day here at InfoWars. This is the program of Alex Jones that I think you have probably read and heard about. This is why we ask you to go to the InfoWars.com store for some of these extraordinary specials we're running. You see, we don't have a George Soros or a Rockefeller Foundation or a Ford Foundation or some other secretive deep state government funding. We exist. We survive. We thrive. We exceed your expectations here at InfoWars solely on the support of the InfoWarrior community, solely on the support of folks like you who are liberty-minded patriots who understand the win-win of not only getting extraordinarily effective and high-quality products like Silver Bullet at 50%, Colloidal Silver, necessary for good health, Inthroplex at 50% off, and the special men's formula, which I found worked in synergy with Inthroplex exceedingly well. Now, these are deep, deep discounts, folks. These are really extraordinary deals put forward by Alex Jones in our effort to grow. We need to move this stuff off the shelves in order to generate the revenues for the big new studio we're building and the expanded programming you'll be getting here at InfoWars. And this whole week seems to be about the JFK documents, monumentous decision by President Donald Trump to thwart the pressures of the deep state and the mandarins at Langley and opt for total transparency, opt for the truth with the American people. It's really a dramatic and historic turn of events.
Yeah, and I remember when we were discussing this last week, Roger, we were imploring the president to do this, and as usual, he listens to his constituency. And as it was last week, I still have the same concern is, are we going to get the truth from this, or are they going to redact these documents before the public can see it? Will it basically be a wiped clean slate before the public even sees it? But the timing for this is key, I think, Roger, not just because obviously they're calling for the assassination of President Trump, but also what we just saw in Vegas. I mean, if we get these documents and it shows the clear cover-up by the FBI on the truth of the JFK massacre, as well as perhaps multiple shooters, well, all of a sudden this adds more clarity to what we saw in Vegas, perhaps. So how much information actually comes from these documents is going to be key. I think the American public are going to be weighted with bated breath, though, Roger.
No, I think you're exactly right, Owen. Look, if there's a leading indicator, it would be the first tranche of documents that were dumped by the National Archive back in July. Frankly, those were so heavily redacted, and there was so much material withheld on the bogus claim of, quote, national security, that they were of no value whatsoever to scholars and researchers. So in other words, I would not rule out an effort by the deep state to essentially backdoor nullify President Donald Trump's courageous decision to make this material public by stretching the rubric of national security to hide their misdeeds. I think that that is not only probable, it's likely. And we here at InfoWars will let the American people know if the President of the United States is being countermanded. I have an entire team of researchers. We will go to work the instant these documents are released. But let me be clear. The National Archives said first that they would put these out in batches, manageable batches. Now they're saying that they will make them available in one giant data dump. It is unlikely to have a competent search function, and therefore, I think there is an effort by the bureaucrats within the deep state to obscure the data, and then we have to dig into it and see how much of it has blacked out. You know, if it goes and says, Oswald met with redacted for the next five paragraphs, this will not be very helpful. One of the researchers who brought my attention to the shortcomings of the July data dump by the National Archive was Dr. Jerome Corsi here at InfoWars.
Well, they want to say for national security, quote unquote, national security. I think that you touched on what this really is. This is deep state security. This is not letting let the republic, the nation, know how entrenched the deep state is in some of these intelligence agencies, specifically the FBI.
Well, and it's very important to recognize that we learned so much from the original, the first dump of data under the 1994 JFK Assassination Records Release Act. We learned, for example, that FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover informed President Lyndon Baines Johnson that the KGB, the Russian intelligence agency, had conducted their own secret investigation into the Kennedy murder and determined that LBJ was the ringleader. We learned that French intelligence had advised Jacqueline Kennedy that her husband was murdered as the result of a domestic conspiracy run by, yes, Vice President Lyndon Baines Johnson. We learned that the Secretary of the Senate, Bobby Baker, once described by Lyndon Baines Johnson as, quote, my strong right arm, told a Kennedy White House aide on the morning of the 1961 John F. Kennedy inauguration, and I quote, John F. Kennedy will not live to serve out his term, and he will die a sudden and violent death. Really, how is it that Mr. Johnson's top aide knew that in 1961? We also learned that the deep state admitted when J. Edgar Hoover communicated with President Lyndon Johnson that the man who is alleged to be Oswald, the man who showed up at both the Soviet and Cuban embassies in Mexico City, did not physically look like the Oswald who was arrested in the wake of John Kennedy's murder. Now, Philip Sheehan from the Washington Post is quoted as saying, we know Oswald went to Mexico City. No, we don't know that. We know that a man claiming to be Oswald went to Mexico City. So I'm hopeful that these documents will shed substantial light on a number of these areas. In the next segment, I'm going to talk about Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, and what I expect to come out of these documents regarding his activities in New Orleans, where I believe he was, and the National Enquirer is correct about this, working with the Central Intelligence Agency as a member of Lee Harvey Oswald's crew.
Well, and the other angle that I'm thinking of with this, Roger, is what kind of damage would these documents on the JFK assassination do to the Warren Commission, which was praised as gospel, much like the 9/11 Commission is praised as gospel, as the true story. So, you know, that's another angle that they wouldn't want these documents to get out, because it shows how these commissions are really just there to support the official narrative, which is really just there to protect the deep state. So we're going to get into more of that, Roger, as well as I just got some, you know, since this is a hot topic right now, Roger, there'll be some other things. You're going to break down Rafael Cruz, but I want to bring up some other things too from the JFK assassination, just to kind of rehash this. You know, we've got a bigger audience now that probably doesn't think too much about the JFK assassination. So I think this is a moment of opportunity for us to really strike deep into the deep state, pun not intended, to show how corrupt and how many cover-ups they've actually been involved in.
Well, here's why it's important. And that is because the exact same people who killed John F. Kennedy, the same entities are the people trying to remove our president, Donald J. Trump. What's past is prologue. It's very important we understand what happened in 1963 so we can understand what's going to happen in 2017.
That's Roger Stone, and we're going to break it down on the other side. This is The War Room. Don't go anywhere. Warroom.show.
Welcome back. You're on the War Room here at InfoWars, and we're talking about the John F. Kennedy assassination and the courageous decision by President Donald J. Trump only last week to release the still-secret classified files pertaining to that vile murder. In 1994, triggered largely by the widespread success and impact of Oliver Stone's film JFK, the Congress passed legislation that mandated the release of all of the government's secret files, setting an absolute deadline of this October 26 for the last tranche of those files. By law, only the President of the United States can delay the October 26th release, and then he must do so by at least 25 years if he decides to exercise that prerogative. What's in these extraordinary documents? Well, we learned so much about the involvement of both Lyndon Baines Johnson and George H.W. Bush in the last dump of documents. Although George Bush, the 41st president of the United States, told us that he had never worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, at his 1976 Senate confirmations for director of Central Intelligence, lo and behold, under the 1994 JFK Records Act, we obtained a memo that showed that J. Edgar Hoover instructed the head of the Dallas FBI to brief George Bush of the Central Intelligence Agency on the activities of anti-Castro Cubans in the Dallas area. We also learned conclusively that George H.W. Bush was in Dallas on November 22, 1963, even though for 30 years he publicly claimed that he couldn't remember where he was that day. In fact, on the night of the 21st, he slept at the Sheraton Hotel, waking up there on the morning of the 22nd. He further dissembled about his whereabouts the rest of that day, claiming to be in Tyler, Texas for a speech, but informing the FBI director in Houston that he would fly from Tyler back to Houston when in fact he flew from Tyler back to Dallas. Why the subterfuge, Mr. President? How ironic that there would be four presidents there in Dallas that day: John F. Kennedy, Lyndon Baines Johnson, former Vice President Richard Milhouse Nixon, and yes, as we now know, solely because of the 1994 JFK Assassination Records Act disclosures, George H.W. Bush was there as well. Now, Alex Jones is the investigative journalist who broke the deathbed confessions of E. Howard Hunt. E. Howard Hunt was a legendary CIA operative who was a veteran of the Bay of Pigs operation, who was later arrested in the Watergate as one of the Watergate burglars. And Hunt's deathbed confessions, recorded by Alex Jones at InfoWars and produced by St. John Hunt, who is E. Howard Hunt's son and co-author with me of the book The Bush Crime Family. Now, St. John Hunt, who is a Renaissance man, he is an author, a writer, a poet, a musician, a songwriter, a man of enormous talents and taste, assures me that his father's diaries are, to use his words, incendiary, and that they are likely to confirm everything that Hunt told both St. John, his son, and Alex Jones, that being that the Central Intelligence Agency was running the operation in Dealey Plaza on November 22, 1963, that General Lansdale of the Central Intelligence Agency was on the ground in Dealey Plaza, that Hunt himself was a backbencher in the operation, but that, as he told both Jones and his son, LBJ was running the show. All of this to be confirmed in the secret diaries of E. Howard Hunt. Now, the National Archive has these diaries among the files that the president has now ordered release because they were seized by the D.C. Metropolitan Police, who for many years told Howard Hunt that they had been, quote, missing, only to later revise their claim when Hunt threatened to sue, claiming that they had turned them over to the Central Intelligence Agency. From the agency, they went to the National Archives, where now they are among the most protected, still secret, classified documents. St. John Hunt joins Alex Jones tomorrow at 1:30 Central, 2:30 Eastern, to break this down. But I'm looking for the Hunt Diaries to be the cherry on top of the sundae, Owen. I think that this is where we're going to learn so much about what really happened that fateful day.
And, you know, there could kind of be that same effect that we're seeing with Weinstein Gate, where more people want to come out, more people want to hop on the bandwagon of talking about the JFK assassination and getting the truth out there. But again, how much of these documents will they redact? And I'm just curious, Roger, if they do try to redact the meat and potatoes of these documents that are about to get released, do you think Trump would respond to something like that? Do you think Trump would make a statement on those regards?
Well, there's going to be an enormous amount of material. You can already see that their bureaucratic game plan is to claim national security, national security. They should be required to explain that. Where is our national security compromised in events of 50 years ago? If you mean that these documents are going to show that the people at the Central Intelligence Agency lie and that they've been lying about President Trump, that they've been leaking in violation of law, then you can see why they are concerned. Is it any secret that the deep state and that the Obama holdovers at the second and third level, Mr. Brennan, Mr. Clapper, Ms. Rice, Admiral Rogers, that these former Obama NSA officials have used their network within the intelligence agencies to undermine and plan a coup d'etat against this president, just as their forerunners ran a coup d'etat against JFK. That is why they are so sensitive today, Owen.
Well, it's amazing listening to you recount George H.W.'s misremembering of where he was during the JFK assassination. Let's not forget that George W. Bush misremembered where he was the day of 9/11, citing that he was watching it live on TV when we all know he was in a classroom reading to children. Funny how the Bushes forget where they were during these historic events.
Welcome back. I'm Roger Stone, your host here at the War Room. Tomorrow, again, at 1:30 Central, 2:30 Eastern, Alex Jones is joined by St. John Hunt, author, researcher, troubadour, and the son of the legendary E. Howard Hunt, whose secret diaries are among the classified deep state JFK assassination files that President Donald Trump has ordered released. Then I will be hosting the last hour of the Alex Jones Show starting at 3 o'clock Eastern. So tune in tomorrow for the very latest about this particular JFK related narrative. The old bulls at Langley are going out of their mind, and my sources tell me they now plan a rear guard action to redact and withhold so much of this material that it becomes useless in terms of putting together the mosaic that explains what really happened on November 22nd, 1963. In my New York Times best-selling book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, I make the case that Lyndon Baines Johnson was the centerpiece, the drum major, if you will, of a plot to kill our 37th president. The Central Intelligence Agency most definitely was involved. Their motive was Kennedy's failure in the Bay of Pigs invasion of Cuba, but more precisely, they were deeply upset about the Cuban Missile Crisis because they knew that we had secretly removed our missiles from Turkey in Italy, a fact that was classified and unknown to the American people for almost 40 years. In other words, Nikita Khrushchev, the cunning Russian leader, had outfoxed John and Bobby Kennedy, and the mainstream media narrative that said that the swashbuckling Kennedys faced Khrushchev down and he blinked was a falsehood. And then, of course, there was organized crime. The House Assassinations Committee in 1978, in their special report, concluded that organized crime was involved in the murder of President John F. Kennedy. And, of course, Lyndon Baines Johnson had a close relationship, financial relationship, with Carlos Marcello, the very gangster who controlled the mob in Texas and Louisiana, and was fighting extradition under Eisenhower and promised relief under Kennedy, relief that never came. When Bobby Kennedy doubled down on his efforts to deport Marcello, he may have helped sign his brother's death warrant. And then, of course, there was Big Texas Oil. They were upset about John F. Kennedy's attempt to repeal the oil depletion allowance. So all of them had motive for the murder of John F. Kennedy, but only one man, Lyndon Johnson, had control of the Dallas County Sheriff's Office, the Dallas City Police, and the Dallas County District Attorney. Why is this crucial? Because in 1963, murder, even the murder of the president, is not a federal but a state crime. That means Lyndon Johnson was in firm control of the investigation of the murder of his predecessor. Johnson's motive was the most acute. He knew that he had been targeted for indictment in the criminal corruption cases of Billy Sol Estes, the flamboyant Texas wheeler dealer, and Bobby Baker, who I mentioned in the first segment, who served as Lyndon Johnson's bagman, soliciting bribes for every major defense appropriation or federal contract. LBJ knew that Time Life had a SWAT team of nine investigative reporters on the ground in Dallas, digging into how he went from a poor schoolteacher to a multimillionaire while on the government and congressional salary the entire time. So Johnson was the man looking into the abyss. In fact, we know that Lyndon Baines Johnson was aware that Drew Pearson, the single most influential syndicated columnist of his day, had scheduled a column for November 23rd, the day after Kennedy's murder, pointing out that Johnson had taken a $10,000 bribe from General Dynamics in the matter of the procurement of the TXF fighter. It was handcuffs for LBJ. That story spiked after the murder of John F. Kennedy in the Valley of Dealey Plaza. As you may know, it was Governor John Connally, the former administrative assistant of Lyndon Johnson and Lyndon Johnson's closest confederate, who insisted that the Kennedy motorcade, over the objections of the Secret Service, take the sharp right turn that would require going through Dealey Plaza, where the car stopped to below 15 miles per hour, making our president a sitting duck for multiple shooters. As I establish in my book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, 13 doctors and nurses at Parkland Hospital identify a wound in the back of John F. Kennedy's head, a wound which miraculously disappears by the time federal agents seize the body in violation of Texas law and send it to Walter Reed Medical Center in Bethesda, Maryland, for an autopsy. We also know that the the coarse, loudmouth, bullying, corrupt Lyndon Baines Johnson had planned the murder of his predecessor as early as Inauguration Day 1961. In 1962, Johnson was able to obtain the handbook, the actual procedure manual of the U.S. Secret Service, spiriting it to his right-hand man, Cliff Carter, the man who oversaw and orchestrated the murder of John F. Kennedy. So there is so much more to learn in this next tranche of documents, Owen. I am going to be very focused on the question of Rafael Cruz. Now, the National Enquirer correctly reported that Cruz is the man identified in the Warren Commission photo published by the National Enquirer and originally published by the Warren Commission. Judith Very Baker, identified in the Warren Commission report as a mistress, a lover of Lee Harvey Oswald, confirmed for me that that indeed she knew Rafael Cruz, that he had been among those handing out flyers in New Orleans. Actually, he was one of those photographing those taking the flyers, because those people who took pro-Castro flyers were later beaten and in some cases intimidated. So we have an eyewitness that says the National Enquirer is right. She said that she knew Rafael Cruz under his alias Angel, but that he was well known to Lee Harvey Oswald and was part of Oswald's false flag operation on the ground in New Orleans. Ted Cruz, you got some splaining to do.
Do you think that's something that they would allow to get out with these classified documents that Trump is about to release, or they try to redact evidence like that?
Well, I think it remains to be seen. Frankly, I can't see anybody in the deep state being particularly interested in protecting Ted Cruz. You know why people take an instantaneous dislike to Ted? They're merely saving time.
Are you saying that the gut instinct
ba-boom.
Is to reject
ba-boom.
Ted Cruz?
Ba-boom. Where are you with the rim shot when I need you?
I don't have my drum kit here with me, Roger. I'm sorry. I left it at home today.
In any event, you're on the War Room with Roger Stone and Owen Scheuer. And make a stop at the InfoWars.com store, where Brain Force is the indispensable product. I keep this stuff in my travel bag. I've got it in both my New York and Florida homes. Indispensable for mental clarity. Get some today.
Gonna be. Are you gonna give your love to me?
That's a great Texan, Buddy Holly, who hails from Lubbock, Texas, where I'll be visiting on November 2nd. So we are awash in Kennedy mania. And it is incumbent upon us, I think, to focus on the many things we have yet to learn. I made the case in my book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, a New York Times bestseller, I'm happy to say, that the man shooting from the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building is not Lee Harvey Oswald, but convicted first-degree murderer Mac Malcolm Wallace. Mac Wallace has murdered before, convicted in 1951 of murdering a man in cold blood who was in a love triangle with Lyndon Baines Johnson's sister. We know that it was likely that Mr. Wallace is the shooter for several reasons. No less than six individual witnesses, including Arnold Rowland, Carolyn Walther, Ruby Henderson, Johnny Powell, and Charles Bronson, all tell the Dallas police that they see a man in the window of the sixth floor of the Texas School Book Depository building, and that he is heavy set, balding, and wearing spectacles. In one case, they're specified as horn rim spectacles. That is a perfect description of Malcolm Mac Wallace. We also know that Wallace is seen by a witness fleeing the building. That witness would come forward only to have his life threatened multiple times, a gentleman named Carr. Carr has so many threats against his life that he seeks to move out of the state to the Midwest. There's an attempt to car bomb him there. He ultimately would go and testify before Jim Garrison and his grand jury, telling them that he saw a man meeting the description of Wallace leaving the sixth floor, leaving the Texas School Book Depository building. Oswald is therefore exactly what he says he is, a patsy. Oswald is on the second floor of the Texas School Book Depository, calmly eating his lunch only minutes after John F. Kennedy has been shot. We know this because he is encountered by a Dallas police officer and the manager of the building, who identifies him as an employee. It is instructive that the electricity in the Texas School Book Depository building has miraculously been turned off, and therefore Oswald would have to have had fired his three shots, a feat that no military sharpshooter has been able to duplicate, hide his weapon, and run down four flights of stairs without being out of breath. Impossible. Even more problematic, as I establish in my book, a woman named Victoria Adams, in that exact episecond, is on the wooden staircase between floors 2 and 6, and she neither sees nor hears Lee Harvey Oswald. No, as the eyewitness evidence says, the man who is the shooter from the sixth floor, a man who has a superior record in the Marine Corps as a marksman to the lowest rating rated Lee Harvey Oswald, is Malcolm Mac Wallace. Wallace has killed for Johnson before, and that is also established in my book, The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ. Now, one would wonder why Malcolm Wallace is not mentioned in Robert Caro's legendary multi-volumed biography of LBJ. Also missing from Mr. Caro's biography is any mention of Billy Sol Estes. This is extraordinary because Sol Estes would go to jail in a corruption scandal involving Johnson, essentially not rat Johnson out, but after Johnson's death would testify under oath that he attended a meeting in which Lyndon Johnson and his right-hand man Cliff Carter planned and talked about the murder of John F. Kennedy. So perhaps the reason Robert Caro doesn't want to go there in his discussion of the trial and the public scandal of Billy Sol Estes is because Estes ultimately brings us to the truth. Funny how Mr. Caro extensively covers the corruption of Bobby Baker, the Secretary of the U.S. Senate, and Johnson's bagman, yet he never mentions Estes, showing that he lies by omission. Evidently, Mr. Caro wants to continue to be invited to the right Upper West Side Manhattan cocktail parties and does not want to tell us what Bill O'Reilly came to the edge of recognizing in his book, Killing Kennedy, that Lyndon Johnson was a psychopathic maniac, that he was a coarse, corrupt, ruthless bully capable of any crime in order to obtain the presidency and stay out of the federal penitentiary himself. Owen, What else do you have on LBJ? Because I know from the incoming email that our listeners are keenly interested in what we're laying out there today.
Well, kind of a different angle that I want to take to this, which I'd like to hear your perspective on. You've got Jimmy Carter, who is kind of going against the establishment now, at least against the grain. Perhaps he sees the tea leaves. Specifically, though, I think that this, the JFK documents being released and everything, is just more of the deep state revealing itself, more opportunity for the general public to see into the deep state. Do you think Jimmy Carter is kind of seeing the tea leaves and realizing that before he makes his final way here on Earth, that, you know what, I want to be with the American people and not the globalists? Or am I mismeasuring this?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to understand the background of Jimmy Carter. He, like Ronald Reagan, is an outsider president. Normally, two-term governors of Georgia don't get to be president of the United States. He very skillfully comes out of nowhere to take on the Democratic establishment to be nominated and narrowly elected, pardon me, in 1976. And although he hires a number of globalists, he does clean out the Central Intelligence Agency from the crowd that had murdered John F. Kennedy. His appointment of Stansfield Turner and the widespread layoffs within the CIA of the friends of George H.W. Bush is a major factor in Carter's ultimate downfall. Jimmy Carter is a Christian. He is a man of personal integrity. Unlike the Bushes and the Clintons, he never profiteered from government. He never made money from government. He never lined his pockets or the pockets of his family. There is not some long list of cronies and retainers that Jimmy Carter allowed to be enriched. He was an honest man. Perhaps he was misguided in his political philosophy. Perhaps he was misguided in his politics. But he was an American. He was a patriot. And he was never one of the Council on Foreign Relations trilateral Bilderberger insiders. It would be fair to say that through the appointment of Brzezinski as his national security advisor, the deep state, the globalists had a deep toehold in his presidency, but also with the appointment of his own attorney general, Jimmy Carter never really lost track of who he was. Unlike President Donald Trump, he brought men like Griffin Bell and others from Georgia, whose loyalty was not to the deep state, not to the two-party establishment, but whose loyalty was to President Jimmy Carter.
Roger, we got 30 seconds left. What do you think will be the most damning thing to come out of these released JFK documents?
Lee Harvey Oswald was working for the CIA from the beginning, was a paid informant for the FBI, and he was maneuvered into place by the deep state.
There you have it, folks. Roger Stone, he's been right on the pulse of this since the beginning, so we'll continue to keep you updated at InfoWars.com. Thank you, Roger. We'll see you tomorrow.
Great to be here.
Pretty big deal here. It's tough if you're CNN. You know, you're admittedly covering a nothing burger in the Russian collusion story, but CNN had a breakthrough. CNN has had a breakthrough, and they have finally realized what an apple is.
This is an apple.
Oh!
Some people might try to tell you that it's a banana.
What?
They might scream banana, banana, banana,
banana,
over and over and over.
Banana! Banana!
They might put banana in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a banana.
This is from CNN.
But it's not. This is an apple.
Wait a second. That was so good. When is CNN going to get an award for that? I mean, CNN deserves a Pulitzer. CNN deserves a Nobel Peace Prize. We need to make up a new award for CNN because of that. That was so powerful. Wow. But you know what the amazing thing is about that? Is CNN actually does the exact, like CNN is the fake news that tells you an apple is a banana. Like that's what CNN does every day. They tell you Trump is racist. They tell you Trump supporters are all white supremacists. They tell you CNN sits on air all day long trying to tell you that an apple is a banana. That's literally what CNN does. So literally, CNN tries to tell you with their fake news all day long that an apple is a banana, that George Soros did not collaborate with Nazis, even though we have the tapes. That's what CNN does all day long. Then they actually spend time and money and creative output to put together that 30-second clip telling you that an apple is an apple. But also warning you that some people might try to tell you that an apple is a banana. Now, I can't even cover this. Step away from the lunacy that is CNN. At the same time, you have CNN that will tell you that a man could be a woman, or basically you can identify as whatever you want. It's all gender fluid. And then, okay, no. So here's what we're going to do. Now, guys, roll. So what we did is we put together a nice little response to CNN saying that an apple is an apple. And while we roll that clip, guys, pull up my Twitter. There's a couple tweets I want to show when we come back from this. So here's our rendition of an apple. Is it really an apple?
This is an apple. Some people might try to tell you that it's a banana. They might scream banana, banana, banana over and over and over again.
Wow.
They might put banana in all caps.
Wow, folks, this is breaking.
You might even start to believe that this is a banana.
This is actually breaking right now.
But it's not.
This is the intel.
Is an apple.
Folks, okay. Wow, I'm just getting it in my ear. I'm just getting it in my ear. That was the original CNN video. The original CNN video actually featured a banana, and then fake news CNN put an apple over it. Wow. Wow. CNN is fake news again, even when they try to tell you an apple is an apple. Unbelievable. No, but let's actually do a quick fact check on CNN. Guys, pull up my Twitter. Go down a little bit here. I retweeted a Jack Posobiec tweet that I want to pull up real quick. Oh, wait a second. CNN trying to lecture us about fake news. Guys, yeah, look at that full image there. Click on the actual image to pull it up. Oh, let's see. It starts on March 5th, 2017. CNN has the headline, Trump's baseless wiretap claim. Oh, okay, it's CNN. It must be true. And then again on September 6th, 2017, CNN headline, Donald Trump just flat out lied about Trump Tower wiretapping. Oh, it's CNN. It must be true. And then the third headline, third time's a charm, September 18th, 2017, exclusive on CNN, U.S. government wiretrapped former Trump campaign chairman. Uh-oh, CNN calls itself fake news. Wow. That's CNN for you, folks. Fake news.
Is the War Room. Don't you
dare, don't you tread on me. All right, folks. CNN is completely fake news. But you already knew that. What you might not have known is that InfoWarsStore.com is running huge specials right now. And we've got new specials, new discounts. We're always updating our discounts. So you got to be sure to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Some of our latest discounts include Silver Bullet, 50% off Silver Bullet. That's colloidal silver. Now, folks, this is a product that you can literally use for just about anything. You get a sore throat, swallow some colloidal silver. You're starting to get a cough, a little colloidal silver. I know people that use it when they get some nasal congestion or some sinus inflammation. They use silver bullet and it knocks that out. Sometimes even with allergies, boom, silver bullet. Another thing that I use it for, look at that, by the way, 4.9 star review. That is about a perfect review on Silver Bullet. That's 50% off right now, by the way. I also use this. A lot of times I'll get, I won't get too graphic, but let's just say I get some pretty nasty blisters on my feet. I will literally dunk my toes in Silver Bullet and it heals the blister overnight. If I get a cut or a scratch or an abrasion or a bug bite, I put Silver Bullet on it. I put Silver Bullet on a Band-Aid, and then I stick the Band-Aid on top of it, and it covers it and fixes it overnight. It also helps me from scarring when I get some of these cuts. You put, you know, how sometimes you get a cut and it scars. Well, Silver Bullet helps me not scar. I mean, seriously, this is an incredible product. It's 50% off. So many uses with Silver Bullet. Truly an amazing product. And I'm just telling you the different uses that I've experienced Silver Bullet with. I've had other people tell me different uses, but I've never personally tried it. So it's just an incredible product. Silver Bullet is 50% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Another product that we just put off at 50% is Winter Sun. And this is a product that kind of gets overlooked, I would say, especially in the summer. But now that winter is coming around, this is going to be a product that you're going to want, folks. A lot of times during winter, you realize that you're a little slower, you're a little more lethargic, you don't really have as much energy. Well, that's because you're not getting as much sun or you're not getting as much vitamin D. So we've got the solution, and that's Winter Sun Vitamin D. So as fall is coming and will quickly be waning, winter is right around the corner. You know that that means less sun, more cold days. You're going to be wearing clothes, so you might not get any sun when you even go out in the winter. So we've got the solution, Winter Sun Vitamin D. If you're usually tired and lethargic and don't have as much energy in the winter, give Winter Sun a try this winter and you will tell the difference. And it's 50% off right now. So you could get one and then give one as a gift as well. And then you can experience the power of Winter Sun as well as a member of your family or a friend. So 50% off Winter Sun. Check out all the specials right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Okay, phone number is 888-201-2244. 888-201-2244. JFK, Vegas, fake news CNN, Trump, Weinstein Gate. All of these things are on the table for you to talk about, and I will take your phone calls either in the next segment or maybe the last segment. We'll see how it goes. I got some stuff I want to get out of the way here, though, before we get to break. Let's start with this. Pull up that 3D graphic of the counties that I sent you guys. This is a 3D graphic of the results of the 2016 election. Now, this is something we've seen before, but not in a 3D graphic, a 3D dimensional graphic. And this really shows you what happened, and not just what happened in the last election, but what happens every election. Now, this is obviously in black and white, so you can't really, this is not as powerful as the actual image that I sent to Jake. I don't know if Jake is back there, guys, or if anybody else knows where this is. If you just plug in 3D election results 2016, you'll be able to find this. But basically what you're going to find here is that, as we've said, the only place where Hillary Clinton gets support, there it is, the only place where Hillary Clinton gets support is inner cities, folks. If you eliminate big cities in California, Seattle, Chicago, New York, Boston, and Miami, just those six cities, and Hillary Clinton has basically, I don't know, 10% of the popular vote. I mean, let's be real here. Seriously, if you erase Seattle, Los Angeles, Chicago, Miami, New York, and Boston, just six cities. If you just eliminate those six cities, Hillary Clinton gets 5% of the popular vote. So this is what the Democrats do. They bring in non-citizens, they bring in the welfare state, and then they put you on the Democrat voting plantation. And then what changes in those counties? Nothing. Just more violence, more crime, and more welfare. So this is how the elections work. This is how Democrats win elections. And this is why the Democrat Party and liberals are so separated from America and from the Republic, because they just live in their own little land It's a coastal party, the Democrat Party. It's a coastal political movement, and it has no grassroots. And once you remove the illegal citizens from those cities, folks, I think you're going to be shocked at what happens. And I suspect that that Houston blue tower is going to go way down in the next election. Now, I'm not sure about the other ones, but that Houston one for sure. Maybe South Florida after the hurricane response. I don't know, but definitely Houston I'm expecting to. All right, let's pile drive through some news here. Trump, Boeing deal with Singo will create 70,000 U.S. jobs. So President Trump is waving his magic job wand again. Barack Obama's head is still spinning. This will also bring, this is during a White House event with Singapore's prime minister today. Boeing also signed a deal that announced $13.8 billion to sell 39 aircraft to Singapore International Airlines. So there's President Trump working for the American people, bringing jobs back and bringing more money into our economy. FBI unravels plot to bomb South Florida Mall. A plot to blow up Dolphin Mall was foiled by federal agents in an undercover operation that led to the arrest of a man from Miami. According to authorities, Vicente Solano was acting alone, if you believe that, as he planned a weapons of mass destruction attack on the Dolphin Mall in Doral. So you had the FBI foil a plot in New York to blow people up, and now reportedly foiling a plot in South Florida to blow up a mall, and they're saying he would have acted alone. But again, who's really buying that? I'm sorry, what was that that came in my ear? Oh, the FBI probably gave him the bomb. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. And I'm not even, again, this is, let's not forget that the FBI stages things to keep themselves relevant. Okay, so let's keep that. All right, folks, look, we're going towards war. And I want to cover these things because I think I see where this is going. First, let's start with this. Protests by hardline religious Jews. Oh, a hoax bomb. So the FBI gave him a hoax bomb just so they could find him. Okay, so that's what they're saying back there. Regardless, though, we are just taking the FBI's word at this. But they are saying that this would have been an ISIS-inspired attack. So I don't know how you can say it's ISIS, but that he's a lone wolf. So now you've got Israel is forcing all people in Israel to serve in the military, including the Orthodox Jews that previously did not have to serve. So to me, this says Israel is getting ready for war, folks. That's what it tells me. Now you've got this other angle. So now they're saying they don't know what happened in Niger. Notice how nobody was even reporting on this, what happened in Niger, until after the phone call. But now you've got AFRICOM seeking more funds to protect people in Niger. That's going to have to come from the Pentagon. Ron Paul is reporting on this. Niger ambush serves an excuse for AFRICOM. Oh, and now all of a sudden, more Benghazi points are starting to be made. And then this from The Intercept. The U.S. will invade West Africa in 2023 after an attack in New York, according to Pentagon War Game. Oh, this is just like the attacks on 9/11 were wargamed out in the exact same way before they happened. You have this attack in Niger happening. You have ISIS apparently now setting up strongholds in Africa. That's what they're reporting. Are they building up for a war against ISIS in Africa, folks? Is that what they're building towards? All signs point to yes. We're about to take your phone calls, but I just want to have a little fun with the ACLU. It's always nice, you know, the ACLU, these people. I wish I could get the ACLU on to debate me. That would be fun. So try not to laugh out loud when you hear this from the ACLU. Again, these are what they send out in their email. Blocking a young immigrant woman from having an abortion? Not on our watch. That's the ACLU. ACLU people power activists are standing up to fight back against the increasing assaults on our Constitution. So wait a second. So I'm sorry. Does anyone in the crew back there recall seeing abortion in the Constitution? Was abortion in the Constitution, y'all? I don't remember seeing abortion in the Constitution.
I don't know, maybe the ACLU is just writing their own constitution now, but you see this, blocking a young immigrant woman from having an abortion? Not on our watch! We're going to stand up for the Constitution! It's like, there's no connection there.
We looked over the Constitution. You have the right to life, liberty, and...
Oh, wait, what was the first one there? What was the first one?
Liberty, and the...
What was the first one, Zimmerman? What was the first one?
Dilemma.
You have the right to what? What was the first one there?
Liberty.
No. Life. Yep. You have the right to life.
I know.
Okay, so I guess...
They added another one. It's the right to tear babies into pieces...
Oh, the ACLU rewrote the Constitution. You have the right to kill your baby and then the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, killing your baby is unalienable. That's important.
No, but here's the thing, though, because you read that and you're like, block a young immigrant woman from having an abortion. Well, what are they talking about? They don't tell you in this email. Oh, but they didn't think that one of the people might be smart enough to read the other email and connect the dots. The Trump administration's Office of Refugee Resettlement and its anti-choice director, Scott Lloyd, is illegally and outrageously blocking a 17-year-old woman, Jane Doe, from obtaining an abortion she desires and has the right to acquire. Bingo, bongo, boingo. So a non-citizen, this is a non-American citizen that the ACLU claims she has a right to an abortion in the United States.
We took the government to court this week and the judge agreed with us and ordered the government to allow Jane to have an abortion. But then the Trump administration appealed and now a court has delayed Jane's access to care even longer, pushing her further into a pregnancy she decided to end weeks ago.
This is so outrageous. You know, there's a lot of other ways to not have a baby and it's not called abortion. You could not have sex. That's A. You could be on birth control. You can easily access that in this country. Let's say you do end up doing you know what, and then there's a pill you can take the day after. There's also condoms. The list goes on and on. But no, the ACLU only wants you to abort the baby. That's all that they're going to offer you. And then they're going to say a refugee has the right to abort her baby in America, and you better pay for it. That's the ACLU. And then they complain that she has to have her pregnancy. It's illegal to force a young woman to carry her pregnancy to term against her will, period. It's illegal. I mean, I can't even believe this. Folks, they're blaming you for her getting pregnant. And then it just goes absolutely full-on insanity. Not only did government officials block Jane from her healthcare appointments for a safe abortion, they forced her to go to a religiously affiliated crisis pregnancy center. Here you go, folks, where she received coercive counseling and quote me on this, invasive, unnecessary ultrasound. So the ultrasound is invasive and unnecessary, but the abortion is okay. According to the ACLU, getting an ultrasound of your child is invasive and unnecessary, but the abortion is perfectly okay. The ACLU hates babies. I'm not even going to get into this other one from the ACLU. These people are complete trash. Can't wait to see the ACLU be brought down. Let's go to Jesse in Virginia. Go ahead, Jesse.
Mr. Owen, how's it going, man? You're doing a great job up there, man.
Hey.
Hey, look.
You better pay Thursday, for this refugee's abortion, Jesse. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, last Thursday, my buddy hit me up. You said I'm pretty good with this kind of stuff, keeping up with it, especially coming from InfoWars. But he called me up and said, hey, look. Did you hear what happened in Colonial Williamsburg yesterday? I'm like, no, what happened? He said, supposedly some random guy, white guy named Stephen Powers, had an IED, an improvised explosive device, went to go set it off right there in all the historic area that supposedly William & Mary was having their homecoming or supposedly or whatnot, set the bomb off or whatnot. Nobody got hurt, thankfully. They got the guy. I went to search him up on Facebook. What do you know? Facebook page, nowhere to be found.
Mm.
Facebook's on the side. The page is down. The page is gone. You know he had a Facebook page.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you know? Lone Wolf, I highly doubt it. I wanted to see his Facebook page. I'm sure he's got ISIS propaganda probably all over it and who knows what, but.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
All
hey,
the history
guys.
And everything right there in Colonial Williamsburg. And thankfully nobody got hurt, but what's the real story? And I've seen on Facebook, BuzzFeed, of course, was commenting on there, little here, little there, on spots on Facebook about it. I don't trust one word out of BuzzFeed's mouth, you know. So,
oh well, we're going to get to
InfoWars.
We're going to get to BuzzFeed in a second. Well, thank you for the call, Jesse. That's why I take calls. Be sure to pay for a refugee's abortion today. Wow, I didn't know that was happening. But if you think about it, it all is going in line with the left and ISIS say that they're about to start waging all these attacks in our countries. You had the plot spoiled in Florida, the plot spoiled in New York. You had the Vegas shooting happen. You had this plot spoiled in Virginia. And it's not even November 4th yet. Lone wolf doesn't sound like it. It sounds like some entity has brought war to our country. That's what it sounds like. And you know what? If this attack wasn't ISIS affiliated, CNN and MSNBC would be all over the news. Or if this guy wasn't an avowed leftist on social media, CNN and MSNBC would be all over the news saying, look at this violent white supremacist. So that's all you need to know. The fact that they're ignoring this tells you this was probably a foaming at the mouth leftist or possibly even someone radicalized by ISIS. So CNN ignores that, though, because they can't paint the white supremacist Trump supporter narrative. Let's go to Victor in Missouri. Wants to talk about Vegas. Go ahead, Victor.
How you doing? Hey.
Good.
My first time calling, so and I use all your products, so most all of them.
Well, thank you for that.
And they're excellent too, especially Brain Force, man. That really gets me going.
Yeah, no doubt.
So for me, I'm 63 and disabled, so for me, I really need it for my brain, the medicines I'm taking. Anyway,
well, I'm glad to hear that.
Anyway, getting to the point, I was looking at all the footage of the Vegas shooting, something that you already shown, with the Hooters thing. One thing I want to mention about that, the guy was talking in the background. I was watching for about an hour, and the guy says, "Oh, check that out. That's a hazmat truck he saw going down a road." So that was a question that I was going to
Well, you know, that's interesting because there was also reports of DHS being at the Luxor Hotel because there were reports of a bomb being at the Luxor Hotel. I'm not exactly sure if that correlates with a hazmat truck being there. I have not heard that one. Interesting. Just more ripples in the mystery of the Vegas massacre, and we're getting nothing from the officials. Back to your phone calls here in a second, but first I'm going to do a news blitz. All right, this is from CBS News. Inside the FBI operation to rescue kids from sex trafficking. The FBI is cracking down on what it calls a national epidemic of kids caught up in sex trafficking. FBI agents and local police have been carrying out a nationwide sweep last week to rescue children involving FBI field officers from all 50 states. Now, this is something that has started via the Trump administration. We have seen the results from this with many children, infants, folks. I don't even want to say how young. Infants used in the sex trade. And it's been busted on the East Coast. It's been busted in California on the West Coast. You've had politicians being busted, mayors being forced to resign, assistants to de Blasio caught with hundreds and thousands of graphic child porn images. You had the number two in the Vatican recently caught. He's in court still because of his pedophile charges against him. So basically what you have is a president that isn't part of the elite pedophile ring. So he's willing to open these investigations and let the collars loose on the FBI and the CIA to bring these people to justice because Trump isn't one of them. So that's why you haven't seen this. That's why this story doesn't happen until today. Sex trafficking, child abuse, all of this has been going on for decades. Why hasn't the FBI had the operation to rescue kids from sex trafficking? Because the presidents have always been involved in it, folks. Maybe not directly, but somehow indirectly with the people that fund them and the people they keep close to their quarters. Just look at Hillary Clinton, Harvey Weinstein, Bill Clinton, Anthony Weiner, okay? These are who these people are. So you don't get this story unless Trump is elected. If Hillary's elected, they're still running the kids, no one's getting busted, and they're probably trying to steal more kids from Haiti. Now, let's get back into the dominoes falling in Weinstein Gate. 38 people accuse James Toback of sexual harassment. Wow. Another Oscar-nominated director and writer, another man from Hollywood, 72 years old, by the way. This guy's 72. 38 women have now accused him of sexual harassment. 38 women. Isn't that the same number against Harvey Weinstein right now, too? That number's probably even higher now. Oh, but you're saying they knew? Oh, my gosh. Just like Harvey Weinstein, they knew. From Breitbart. Proof. Hollywood has known about James Toback's illegals, alleged sexual assault misconduct since 1989. And then Breitbart documents that nice and well for you because, folks, they knew this was going on. They knew it was all going on. Just like they knew that child sex trafficking was going on. Why is it all coming down now? Because of Trump, folks. Because of Trump. And I'm not sitting here just praising Trump. I'm just telling you what's going on. And then you have to scratch your head and wonder why they're trying to control this narrative. And I have the answer for you. In fact, I've already told you it, but I'll prove it when I get to the end of this. Ashley Judd sets first TV interview after Harvey Weinstein allegation. Ashley Judd. I'm sorry, but I don't buy that Ashley Judd was sexually assaulted. I'm not saying Harvey Weinstein didn't sexually assault people. I'm saying Ashley Judd knew what she was getting into and gladly did it because she was told she was going to be the belle of the ball. She was going to get to all the awards. And that's all a person like Ashley Judd cares about. Attention and herself. A narcissistic person. I'll just say that about Ashley Judd. Truly a sad, mentally depraved individual who is so narcissistic, you can now see it. When she does a women's march, says this is what a feminist looked like, but ignores sexual assault in Hollywood for decades. You, Ashley Judd, well, you're more like Elmer Fudd. Harvey Weinstein's chauffeur speaks out, I drove Mr. Sex Pig, and then gives his accounts of how disgusting Harvey Weinstein was. Let's just say the driver, his chauffeur, basically says, confirms everything we heard on the tape that was released from the New Yorker. Pretty sick stuff. Oh, I was so glad to hear this story today just because I wanted to say this. Matt Damon admits he knew Harvey Weinstein sexually harassed Gwyneth Paltrow. Matt Damon. And here's where the chickens come home to roost, ladies and gentlemen. The men taking classes to unlearn toxic masculinity. Toxic masculinity. Oh, yes. Don't worry. They mentioned Harvey Weinstein. They mentioned that these classes are now going to be forming because the allegations against Harvey Weinstein and Hollywood. Oh, who saw that coming? New York Times, Weinstein Company faces civil rights inquiry by the New York Attorney General. What civil rights would you be talking about? That's right. Sexual intimidation, sexual harassment by men against women in Hollywood. That's it, folks. That's all it is. It's just all of these men and keeping the women down. I'm telling you, they're coming after toxic masculinity. They want to bury men with this story. Now they're facing a civil rights inquiry because it's all sexism, folks. No, it's all depravity. That's what it is. You have narcissistic depraved people like Ashley Judd who sell their soul and sell their body to be rich and famous. And then you have sex pigs like Harvey Weinstein that take advantage of it. That's what you have here. Don't tell me it's toxic masculinity. In fact, I'll tell you something right now. If there had been a real man in Hollywood, if there was an actual man in Hollywood, if there was someone in Hollywood with your quote-unquote toxic masculinity, Harvey Weinstein would have had his ass kicked years ago.
Okay? James Toback wouldn't be working in Hollywood because as soon as he sexually assaulted someone, he would have gotten his ass kicked. Excuse me. I'm sick of people blaming toxic masculinity. You know what it means to be a man? It's to stand up for innocence. Okay? They're going to come. I'm just, because here's what I have to put up with. I have to put up with Claire McCaskill. I have to put up with Elizabeth Warren. All the senators now say, hashtag me too. Ugh. Claire McCaskill hates men. Claire McCaskill, this wasn't caught on some secret recording. Claire McCaskill did a publicity stunt saying men need to shut up. Men need to learn how to shut up. How about toxic femininity? But these women aren't feminine. Let's just go back to the phone lines. I can't even deal with this stuff anymore, man. Let's go back to Victor. Victor, finish up your statement. You were saying there was a hazmat truck on the Vegas Strip that night. Go ahead.
Well, you just shared, God bless you for that. I really mean it. God bless you. I mean, you're right on a roll.
I'm just sick of it. You want to call me a toxic masculinist? If I see a woman getting abused, I'm going to say something, okay? That's toxic masculinity. That's a bunch of wusses.
Anybody has a set of balls, we'd kick their ass.
So what was the deal with this hazmat truck? You got 40 seconds.
Anyway, the hazmat thing was one thing. The thing I was trying to correlate is this. I believe it involves gangs, and that was a central point that they met. And it was actually a false flag that turned out to be a real thing that went down. And it turned out to be Antifa and ISIS, mm-hmm. along with gangs.
No, I actually agree. That's what I said last week. I think this has all the elements of ISIS, leftist radicals, perhaps even, like you said, gang members, like non-citizens, Latino gang members. Remember, you had the Latina woman running through the crowd saying you're all going to die right before this happened. And then, of course, the FBI probably knew about it and maybe let it happen. I don't know. They're covering up the whole thing. Thanks for the call, Victor. All right, I want to apologize for the audience for screaming in your ear like that and perhaps causing permanent hearing damage to some of the staff here. I just really get sick of these people construing lies and then picking their scarecrow of a target only to bring society further into the dumps. It really makes me sick when people like Ashley Judd want to blame toxic masculinity when she knows well and good what was going on in Hollywood and what she agreed to. Anyway, let's continue on. Let's get the rest of this news out of the way before we take a couple more calls. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. A lot of great specials going on there. The left is a bunch of miserable failures. I got a stack of news on that. Trevor Noah claims to know that Trump prefers white people over black people. So here's another racist liberal who can only see skin color. I've noticed that about all the tolerant liberals is all they can see is skin color. So they are the true racists. But this is the same Trevor Noah who chose to live his life in South Africa with his white father instead of his black mother. So perhaps maybe that's why Noah says that, because, again, he's just projecting himself onto Donald Trump. But that's none of my business. But Trevor Noah, just another racist liberal who tries to project the racism in other directions. Oh, and Trevor Noah is also not funny. This is just, I had to read this story twice just because it was so insane. In Philadelphia suburbs, personalized white supremacist flyers rile residents. So the story here is allegedly a bunch of quote unquote white supremacists are putting white supremacist flyers in everyone's mailbox. To me, this is a leftist false flag, folks. Okay. We've caught leftist, Jewish people, kicking over Jewish tombs, Muslims attacking
Muslim churches or what have you, and then blaming white people, and it's always the Muslims, and then it's always Muslim. And then you have this story. I guarantee you, if they ever actually catch who's ever putting these things in the mailboxes, I guarantee you it's a liberal. I guarantee you this is a liberal trying to spur the Civil War, trying to create this picture of America being white supremacist when it's really not. It's the same thing with Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer has a very, very small following. And if you even listen to his speeches, he even says he doesn't think that whites are superior. But that's nonetheless, the media gives him this huge platform and then says he's a white supremacist. So they give him the big platform, say he's a white supremacist, and then they paint the inaccurate picture by making the false equivalency that Richard Spencer equals all of America when he's actually a fringe minority. And again, if you actually listen to what he says, I was shocked because I never really listened. And then I listened after all the fuzz this weekend, and he was like, no, I don't think white race is superior at all. I just think it's under attack. And it's like, what? So I guarantee you, if they find out who's putting these flyers in the Philadelphia mailboxes, just wait, just come to the war room and you'll see that it was a leftist. It always is. I forgot about this. Oh, SUNY Albany offers safe spaces after Sin Awareness Day. So you had Christian fundamentalists executing their right to free speech, and a bunch of foaming at the mouth leftists show up. Apparently, I just realized this. Did you know that just by being gay, you're protesting now? No, I'm dead serious. Go back up, guys. Go back up to the first picture. There you go. Look at this girl's sign. It just says, I'm gay. Okay. So just being gay apparently is a protest now. So you just show up with a sign that says I'm gay, and yeah, and then you're protesting. So they need their safe space, and it's funny to me because, you know, you don't have to go listen to the speaker. You could stay in your dorm or your apartment or whatever it is, the gutter you live in. You don't have to go listen to these people, so your safe space could just be not going. But no, safe space means shutting up anyone you view as offensive. And then I found this, a counter-protester. Atheism is a temporary condition. I'll just leave that right there because I agree with it. Brzezinski, Trump wants to use nukes. He's excited about the concept. So Crazy Joe and his bleeding liberal wife, Mika Brzezinski, are trying to paint this picture that Trump wants to use nukes. How sick is that? Trump, of course, Trump can never do anything about these people as far as like getting them off air because you know what they would attack him with. But I mean, these people are so unhinged, foaming at the mouth. I mean, they are out of control. Luckily, they have no say anymore. Honestly, like CNN and MSNBC are completely worthless now. I mean, literally, like zero value. I'm someone that monitors news 24/7, all networks, and it's to the point now where I monitor CNN zero because it provides nothing, and I'm to the point now where I barely even watch MSNBC anymore. Sky News, BBC, Bloomberg, all of these have now moving up my list above MSNBC because you actually might get some news there. You get no news from MSNBC. You get foaming at the mouth, crazed liberals like Crazy Joe and Bleeding Mika, and Lawrence O'Donnell, who has insanity in his ear all day. Here's the Young Turks on Instagram. I think this is Instagram. I don't know. Capitalism is indeed organized crime, and we're all the victims. So the Young Turks, whose entire business plan is based on capitalism, hate capitalism. When your leader is Chunk Yogurt, you're the Young Turds. BuzzFeed is investigating anonymous allegations of harassment by its employees. What? No. BuzzFeed is dealing with harassment? I wouldn't believe it. Liberals harassing people? It couldn't be. Folks, could you imagine working at BuzzFeed? I mean, you say the wrong thing, you breathe the wrong way, you sneeze, and you'll be excoriated by the liberals at BuzzFeed. So, of course, they're harassing you. Listen to how insane our schools are now. Life-size Trump scarecrow at California Elementary School. So a California elementary school builds a Trump scarecrow. Imagine if they did that for Obama. Can you imagine if they built an Obama scarecrow? Can you imagine the racists? Principal apologizes for Trump tombstone at school Halloween party. This is another elementary school. This time it's not a scarecrow. It's a tombstone. Isn't that just so loving and tolerant that they want Trump dead, that they give him a tombstone at the parties? Hey, you know who actually deserves a tombstone? Maybe the NFL, folks. Maybe the NFL. Several stadiums nearly empty as anthem protest backlash rolls into week 7. And we'll start to see the ratings numbers as the week goes on, but the attendance numbers are down. These images are really shocking, folks. As somebody that used to cover the NFL for a living, empty stadiums are very rare unless your team sucks. And even then, they're usually not empty, especially in places like Indianapolis and San Francisco. But now, because of the anthem protests, which have now, now they're cascading that energy into fighting for mandatory minimum sentencing being lifted. But they say it's fighting against racism, but then that insinuates that it's only black people that get mandatory minimums. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. It's really sad, to be honest with you. And that's what you get when the fake NCAA lies and tells you that they put school ahead of athletics. That's a bunch of bull. All right, let's squeeze in a call here before we say goodnight. Let's go to Michael. Go ahead, Michael.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Owen.
What's on your mind? You're on the air.
Oh, you're doing great, man. And I'd like to say that please support InfoWars and buy the Brain Force, buy the Bone Broth. Please support, because without you guys, the word doesn't get out. I mean, we'll have to go to smoke signals. You know?
Word of mouth is key. Sharing the links is obviously key, too. But word of mouth, I feel, is the most powerful thing you can do.
Well, I'm just a regular human being in the United States of America that loves you guys. But my point, I got a couple of points to make. Number one, you know, I was born in 1964.
And you got 20 seconds, Mike. You got 20 seconds.
I've heard a lot of years, but the autopsy report of the caliber of bullet that killed JFK came from a security guy in the back car behind him. Check that out. And, you know, just... That's what
Wait. Are you insinuating that the government lied about the JFK assassination?
Of course I am. Sure. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Hey, thank you for the call. Who was you that stay guy? Classy, InfoWarriors.